to the Expat Cast. This is the podcast where expats share their stories about fitting in, standing out, and every mishap on the journey to finding home abroad. This is a special series of the Expat Cast called Terre Talks, or Terre Talks. I'm Nicole and I can't pronounce my R's in any language. I'm originally from the US. I immigrated to Germany when I was 25, and now I'm living in Paraguay temporarily. I got bummed that no one knows anything about this amazing country, so I am here to fix it.
And I'm Zoe. I'm also originally from the US. I'm Nicole's childhood best friend. I lived abroad for a few years, but eventually settled back in Philadelphia in the US. I've spent about a month in Paraguay over two visits, so by most people's standards, that makes me an expert.
Terre is a Paraguayan drink, very complicated drink with a lot of rituals. So for more on that, go listen to the announcement episode of Terre Talks back from August 2023. Today, we are going to sip on Terre and talk about homes in Paraguay. Let's start out by talking about generally what you should picture when you picture a Paraguayan home. And I do want to caveat all of this with saying there is a lot of income discrepancy in Paraguay. And so what I'm going to be talking about might be a little bit different than the average home that you go into. However, I've also stayed in a couple different places when traveling, and I don't want it to seem like I'm only talking about rich, fancy foreigner houses, because some of the stuff is really consistent in the whole range of housing that you'll see. The first thing to talk about is the flooring, because I mean, in the US, I feel like the standard go-to is hardwood floors, and maybe your wooden floors are covered by a carpet or a rug.
Yeah, it's definitely, I would say, hardwood flooring or fake hardwood flooring. And carpeting.
Here you will see no wood anything on the floors. It is tiles, always tiles of some sort. Actually, my first house, the first year I was here, I thought it was wood when I saw pictures of the house, but it was actually stone that looks like wood. Don't ask me what, but it was really cool and really beautiful. It's a bajillion degrees all of the time, and so you can't really have something soft and warm like wood. You need something more cooling. And actually, someone wrote into me on Instagram when they saw some pictures from my home and said that because my home has this big chunky white cream tiles throughout the entire house. And he said he's from India, and he said that that's what they have there, and he's never seen it outside of India. So yeah, hot climates.
That makes a lot of sense. I do think that we should specify, we're not talking about small tiling like you would have in a bathroom. These are really large tiles. How would you describe the size of them?
Okay, I'm not going to talk in American feet. I'm going to literally count my own feet. So one sec.
This is still super American of you, because as they say, Americans will do anything to avoid the metric system.
It's true. I just did heel toe, two and about three quarters times. I would say about the length of an arm.
His arm.
I don't know. So it's a larger square.
It's sizable. And they're bright white, which I think is also common.
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of color in homes and home design here, but there's also a lot of white. Another thing, it's currently 103.41. It's really hot, and it's really hot a lot of the time. A lot of people, though notably not everyone, have air conditioning in their homes. It's not central AC like in the US. It's these boxes that you put in specific rooms, and they're capable of also producing heat. We used it, but it wasn't very frequent that we even needed it. But the air conditioning is very, very critical. There's also a lot of ceiling fans. That's something you would never see in Germany. As noted, not everyone has air conditioning, so a lot of people do still rely on airflow from open windows and fans and stuff like that. I will say, even if the air conditioning hasn't been on yet that day and I walk downstairs in the morning, I go outside, I come inside, you can feel a large significant temperature difference just because of the way the homes are constructed. So it is possible to be more comfortable even without air conditioning, but a lot of people, if they can afford it, will install and use air conditioning.
I would not be able to live in Paraguay personally without air conditioning.
I mean, it's next level. It's really challenging. And even the old house, it didn't have air conditioning in the kitchen. And we moved for a million small reasons, but that was one of them. So yeah, I'm with you. I think it's really common, especially among foreigners. I've heard some Paraguayan friends say that, you know, they have air conditioning, but they don't even turn it on, only to sleep. So there's definitely a different level of comfort.
Because it's not just the heat, it's the humidity as well.
Yeah. Okay, one thing that I find so funny about Paraguayan houses is the outlets.
So I'm able to plug in US plugs in the Paraguayan outlets. I think you can also plug in European plugs.
The ideal outlet here would be this type where it has two holes with two slits. So you could fit a US one or you could fit a European one. But not every outlet is that. My current house is more consistent where it pretty much only has that. But my old house, like I would sit in one room, look around and see three different types of outlets. Because there's also the type that's like three rounded ones in a line. There's three rounded ones and the middle one is offset. In the US, you also sometimes have the two slits plus a circle. I don't even know where all of these come from. Almost everything that we buy that's electrical, we have to buy some kind of adapter for. There is a difference in wattage, and I can't remember what it is, but that's also an issue.
If you were to go to one of the famous malls that we mentioned in the last episode and bought a hairdryer, for example, what would the cord look like?
It would be a surprise.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. More standard would either be two rounded ones, like more European style, or one of the types of three rounded. But you can find and you will find things that have the US plugs too, because they're also used in other South American countries. But I've never seen those dual ones before. I feel like that would be ideal in Europe and in the US, just like having the ability to do both.
Yeah, that's really nice.
One thing that really surprised me when I moved here. Okay, so my old place was three bedrooms, three bathrooms, except that's a lie. My old place was four bedrooms, four bathrooms, but the last bedroom and bathroom were outside up a metal spiral staircase, and it was a tiny, tiny room without, you know, air conditioning or really much of anything. It didn't even have a window, and then a bathroom with a shower. It turns out this is called the servicio, or it's part of what you would call a servicio, which means service. Like, I guess historically the concept is that if you have help, this is the space that they could live in. I initially told this to someone and they were like, oh, like, so you could use it as an in-law suite. But again, I would never have a guest stay there. Like, it's not a comfortable space. And that's been pretty consistent. Like, not every house has a servicio. I think they're less used for that purpose these days. So my current house doesn't have one at all, but a lot of houses have something. And nowadays, I would say they've sort of transitioned to just being like a storage or like utility room. So like this is where you'd put your washer, I guess, dryer. I don't know if anyone in this country has a dryer because why would you when it's this warm? You would put your cleaning supplies, you would put, you know, just whatever you need to store in that space.
Speaking of storage, what is the storage space like in the homes in Paraguay?
Think more of US homes than European or German homes. A German home, when you move into it, if you're renting, it has nothing. Like I've moved in places and there's wires hanging from the ceiling. They took their light bulb with them. Technically, the kitchen belongs to the renter. It does not belong to the property. Like you could enter a home and it could have basically nothing but a toilet and some walls. And it is not like that here. So it's kind of varied what a place that you're renting would come with, but they have some kind of storage. I would say closets are not as common as in the US. The only times I've seen a closet have been rooms, like they're just storage rooms. Where I live right now, I'm looking to my right and there's a wardrobe and it's not built in, but it's part of the property. And that's pretty common. Also, as we mentioned in the last episode, Paraguay is very much a car culture, so it's very important to have a garage or parking. So usually there's some kind of auxiliary storage associated with that.
Although in your current home, you just have a driveway that is gated.
It's common to just have like some kind of car parking in the front, and that is also sort of a functional space because we mentioned in last week's episode, there's so many people selling stuff on the street, and they'll announce themselves with like special whistles or screaming or like a megaphone. So it's actually really functional to have some kind of barrier. The kitchen, speaking of storage rental places come with a kitchen. That's very normal. However, it's not exactly like in the US where you walk in and everything's there. It's also not like Germany where you walk in and nothing is there. It's somewhere in between. So that was kind of funny when like looking for where to move next. Our initial house came with a stove and an oven. It did have an oven and a microwave, but it didn't have a fridge. It didn't have a dishwasher, although dishwashers are very rare in Paraguay in general. So we bought those ourselves. And then when we were moving, there were some places that did have a refrigerator included. And it was like, okay, well then what would we do if we moved here? Or other places where it didn't have an oven included, didn't have a microwave included. So noteworthy. And I've heard even that things like the air conditioners are also not usually included. Like that could be something that the renter technically owns. So you do still run into some of these weird situations where you own something that to me as an American seems like part of the house.
Yeah, it's so foreign to me as somebody who is mostly rented in the US to have to buy these things or provide them for your rental property.
It's really a toss-up, and I think it's really interesting in Paraguay how it's not standardized either. So you really have to look at what you're getting and what you're not getting.
Because it would be very possible, like you bought a fridge for your old house, but it'd be very possible that one was provided to you in this new house, and then you just like have a fridge.
Right, exactly. And of course you could sell it, but then, I mean, it was a new fridge, so then we're automatically losing more money than I would have wanted to. The last what might you see in a house thing inside is bidets. I think you and I are both big fans of bidets, as far as I know.
Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, very pro.
I did not find that these were ever provided for you in Germany. In the US, I know a lot of people who buy these products that you can turn your normal toilet into a bidet. But here, almost every house I've been to has some kind of bidet solution. So my first place had a kind of just like a hose that you would use on the normal toilet. And then here, my new place, there's the separate toilet bidets.
Yeah, we would call those hoses bum guns.
That's amazing.
And by we, I don't know who I'm referencing, but I didn't make it up. I think I first heard that term when I was traveling in Southeast Asia, like some hostels.
Yeah.
Referred to it as that because they had little instructions in the bathroom for foreigners who were not used to bidets.
It's amazing. The other thing I think important about a Paraguayan home is the outdoors because, of course, with a climate like this, outside is a big part of living. So, I mean, first off, so many plants. I feel like everyone does an awesome job of having really, you know, if not a garden in the ground, then just like lots and lots of potted plants. And it makes me so happy.
Yeah, I don't know whether we've made it clear yet so far this series, but Paraguay has lots of great plants. I just think we need to mention it every single episode.
I literally, like, we have an outline for today and I had to delete one of the points, which was just trees! Exclamation mark.
Which has been a point on every single outline so far.
And it's always relevant, but now that I said it, I'm like, okay, but I do want to talk about trees because my old place had a mango tree in the backyard. And that
amazing.
Was just something that made me so excited and feel so special about like, wow, I get to live in a house with a mango tree. In reality, it loses its leaves 12 months of a year. It is constant work. And the mangoes are only like maybe 3 months of the year. And when they do come, there's so many, like you can't use them all. You don't know what to do with them all. So it was a little bit more challenging than I was anticipating, but still just super, super cool. It is pretty common for people to have tiny little pools in their backyard. It's like a hot tub size, but not hot.
A little bit bigger than that. But you're not swimming laps.
I think you're just sitting in it. I'm not really clear. I was kind of anti-pool because I'm like, it's just another thing that you have to keep up with and like you have to clean it in a specific way and it just sounded like a lot of work. So I have not had a pool, but I could have. What I have had is a barbecue. At my old house, it was built into the wall of the house. And in my new house, it has its own special pavilion just for this built-in barbecue. And that is very Paraguayan. Okay, and then in the front yard, I wanted to mention again, so we talked about like the driveway situation or garages. I think a lot of people like this style of it's just a gate and then it's your driveway because they have dogs. So it is very, very common here to have at least one dog, and the dogs are part pet, part guard dog, What you also have a lot of in Paraguay is people not necessarily walking their dogs, but just leaving them in the front yard all day. And they're sort of trained to bark at anyone who walks by. And sometimes people here just kind of let their dogs out in the evening for like an evening walk on their own, like unleashed and without a human. Depending on how many people are doing that in your neighborhood, it can get a little dangerous at night in terms of there's just a bunch of guard dogs on the loose.
Yeah, and you just really don't know what to expect from them because they're so cute. But really, when you do walk by the house, they're scary. It startles me every time. And then when I get over the startle, I'm still like, I don't want to walk past this dog.
Yeah. And some of them that you'll meet on the street are just friendly dogs. So it's yeah, such a toss-up. For me, like one thing that I get asked a lot is, how's the safety in Paraguay? And that is what I would say, like the times that I felt the most in danger have been if I tried to go walk somewhere in the evening, or like I've had a couple times where it's dark out and I just need to like take a walk and clear my head. And after like half a block, I'm like terrified. I'm like, what am I doing? I need to get back home because there's so much barking and so many dogs around. So the other funny thing is, when you're not having a dog as a guard, you might have a guard as a guard.
Yeah, this was a wild thing that I did not expect when you first moved to Paraguay.
Especially in middle class and upper class neighborhoods, you'll have these like little shacks on the corners, and those are the stations for hired security guards. And their job is to just sit there during the night hours. I don't think they stay all night. I think that they would maybe get there when it gets dark and leave at like maybe 1 or 2 in the morning or maybe midnight. I'm not really sure exactly. I've never caught someone like ending their shift. But yeah, they just sit there, they've got a gun, and they just keep an eye and make sure no funny business is going on.
Yeah, and when I first heard this, it made me a little nervous for you. Just like, I'm like, wow, the fact that this neighborhood, like, you need a guard in order to feel safe. But that's not really the experience. It's really seems like it's just something that they just do. but I don't know that Gus ever did anything.
I don't know that either. Yeah. So, okay. There's a whole story here, actually. So my partner moved into our old place like February 1st, let's say, of 2023. And I was still in Germany at the time. We'd kind of divided and conquered. I wrapped up in Germany. He established things for us in Paraguay. I get a message from him like a week into living in this house. Hey, so someone with a gun just showed up to the door. And I was like, excuse me, what? And he was like, yeah, I just was sitting there. And then this like guy knocked on the door, and it was this like older guy. And he had like a gun in a holster. He didn't understand this guy. My partner does speak Spanish, but this guy was more speaking what was like very strong Paraguayan Spanish, which is a difficult pronunciation to understand. And he spoke in a way that mixed more Guarani into his language. And my partner, he did not know what was happening. And he just said, no, no, no entiendo, I don't understand. And then closed the door and ran upstairs. Then he asked around with his colleagues. And they were like, oh, that's your street guard and you have to pay him. And he was like, sorry, what? I didn't hire a street guard. Like, what? but yeah, it turns out this is super common. It's that street, or like basically the sight line from one corner, is one person's territory, and they collect payment from the houses once per month. I started calling ours Gus because he was the gun guy Gus. My partner did then go and pay him because he was advised, like, probably nothing's going to happen, but if someone does show up wanting to rob the street, if he's getting paid by everyone around you except for you, then you're the most vulnerable. That was kind of our motivation for paying. And I mean, a whole year there, he was kind of annoying, actually. Like, he would just kind of run over when we were pulling up, like, on our bikes or in our car, and he would just, like, watch until we got into our house. In a way, it was, like, a nice familiar feeling of, like, oh, hey, it's Gus. Hey, how you doing? We chat with him, whatever. He taught us some Guarani a couple of times. But, yeah, I wouldn't say that he, like, provided any service other than, like, hovering when I was trying to unpack my groceries at night.
I definitely thought Gus was his real name.
No. Side note, I did catch him napping like at least once a week. In terms of me having moved recently, my old neighborhood, which was Maracuya or Borocuya, so it's the word for passion fruit, but like a Paraguayan spelling. You could walk to a lot of things. So there was like a home goods store, a hardware store, an amazing grocery store, a less amazing, more normal grocery store, a food park. All of those things were within, I would say, like a 15, 20 minute walk. They weren't all together. You didn't have this like main street, but you could do stuff without having to get in your car. Yeah.
There was an ice cream shop, couple ice cream shops within walking distance, bunch of restaurants.
Yeah. And here where we are, it's less like that. But yes, I wanted to share the costs. I'm going to share my specific breakdown of costs in Paraguay. And then I looked up today the current conversion for US dollars and euros. I don't have a complete breakdown for what I was paying in Germany, but I have an overview. And we also have an overview from you and our other friends in Philadelphia in the US. So we'll have a little comparison.
How fun. So get ready for lots of numbers.
Let's start off with just sharing the cost of like rent and utilities. Here in Asunción, Paraguay, if you total up what I'm paying for rent, electric, water, internet, phone, any security fees, and this is even including having a cleaning person come once a week to clean the house, the total is 1,072 US dollars or 987 euros. When I was living in Germany, I lived in a one-bedroom apartment. I think it was around 70 square meters, and it had two balconies and a garage, like a parking garage. Total in US dollars would be 1,021. In euros, it's 940 euros, and that is just rent plus like electric, water, and gas and internet, but it doesn't include phone. But I think I was only paying like 10 to 15 euros a month, so not a huge difference.
In the US, in Philadelphia, I currently pay total for rent, electric, gas, internet, and phone. I pay $1,525 in US dollars. That's 1,400 euros. That does not include water because in the US, at least in Philadelphia, landlords pay for water.
My rent here in Paraguay, in Asunción, is 6,500,000. My previous place was 6,200,000 guaraníes, which was adjusted for inflation. So when we initially signed on, it was 6 million guaraníes. And there's like a standard in Paraguay where basically every year they release the inflation for the last year and then the landlord can readjust the rent to match inflation. So it's something that you negotiate every year with your landlord. So I left that house, my new house, at a 6,500,000, which is $888 or 818 euros.
In the US, in Philadelphia, I have a very large one bedroom apartment. I would estimate maybe about 1,000 square feet. And for rent, I pay $1,350 in US dollars. That is not particularly cheap for an apartment in Philadelphia, but also not particularly expensive. A lot of my friends have higher rent than that.
So for electric in Asunción, I'm paying 500,000, which is about 68 US dollars or 63 euros. That's actually quite expensive.
My electric bills vary widely throughout the year because I have central air. So my air conditioning is only running in the summer and that changes my bills quite a bit, but I would say like probably if I were to average it all together, my estimate was around 50 US dollars.
We asked our friends, our larger friend group, and one of our friends was a slightly smaller but similar house to mine in Paraguay. Her house is in Center City, actually quite close to you in Philadelphia. Her electric can run anywhere from 90 in the winter to 215 in the summer because of the air conditioning. So it's a big range.
Yeah.
My water bill is 50,000 guaraní a month, which is $7 or 6 euro. It's so, so cheap. And as we mentioned last episode, you can't drink the water, but that's, you know, sink water, shower water, etc.
And our friend in Philadelphia who does own a house and responded to our text messages says that water is always around $45 to $55 a month.
For internet in Asunción, we pay 200,000 guaraníes, so 27 US dollars, 25 euros. Our phone costs are the same. So it's way more expensive in the US.
So this is another one that we polled our friends for. On average, people are paying about $50 to $60 a month for internet alone. You would pay more if you're including cable But this, again, is a cost that can vary a lot depending on what provider you have.
The next couple are kind of specialty ones. So, like as mentioned earlier, we were paying a security guy $300,000. That's a cost that we dropped by moving in here, which is why our costs are equal. But I was paying him 38 euros a month, $41. And then we have someone who comes and cleans the house once a week, and we pay her per month about 400,000 guaranis, so $55 or 50 euros. To me, that's like the most insane luxury.
Very nice.
Sort of a bonus utility I'm so lucky to have. And then because you don't have drinking water from the sink, I do pay, like we talked about in the last episode, there's like a water truck and they come by once or twice a week and you can like exchange your bottles. I think I probably pay like $15 a month for drinking water. Now, this is kind of interesting to me. So there's actually no gas involved in our house. Our current house has a gas stove. If you have a gas stove, you have to get the gas canisters. Like there's no central lines that you just tap into. So I don't know how much that costs because we were figuring that out now since we just moved in 2 weeks ago. So I don't have a specific number, but there is some amount of additional expenses coming from there. But again, in total, 1,100 US dollars, about 1,000 euro. And again, that's basically what I was paying in Germany, but I have three times this amount of space. I have someone coming in to clean. I have all this outdoor space.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I will say, like I mentioned in the last episode, the minimum wage here, 370 US dollars a month. So obviously someone working a minimum wage job could not afford my house. You definitely can find way cheaper places to live in Paraguay. Like it's really common to live in apartments. They have all of these high rises that we were describing last week. A couple more things I wanted to mention with moving. So when I decided to move, one of the things that really pushed me over the limit is like literally mid-February, I just had this thought of like, I don't know, like what else could we get for what we're paying? I just wanted to look. And literally from that idea, from voicing that idea, until signing the lease on this apartment was maybe 3 days. And in that time, we'd looked at like 5 or 6 properties and they were all amazing. And we could have kept looking if we wanted to or needed to. But there's just tons of amazing places to live sitting empty. So you definitely have the power as the renter. And the other thing is it's just so easy to move. Like the cost of hiring someone to come help you is very cheap. Like I think we spent maybe 120 euros for a truck and 3 guys.
And that was including the tip that you gave them.
Yeah, that's including the tip. Like that's a complete total. Again, in the US, I think you can spend thousands. But actually, so your visit coincided with me having this thought and then us deciding we're going to move. So you were actually there when we officially signed the lease. And do you remember what I thought was one of the funnier moments? I think you were there for it. Everyone was shaking hands and heading out the door. And I was like, oh, by the way, what's actually the address? Like somehow we'd gotten that far in the process and we didn't have the address, which I thought was like really kind of funny.
Yeah. And they didn't know. There isn't one.
He literally was like, he named the street and then he was like, you know, like 300 something, maybe. I don't know. It has to get cleared up.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, we were talking about it last episode, but there's no mail. So it's not super common that you would need to give your address. Often if somebody's coming over to visit and they're using Google Maps, then you drop a pin for them in WhatsApp.
And zip codes don't exist in Paraguay. A zip code is a function of a mail system. We needed the address because I have probably 10 different places that I have to tell that I moved every time I move, and they're all in Germany. It was another luxury moving here where like my partner and I looked at each other. It was like, wait, we don't have to tell anyone. There's no companies that we need to inform, hey, we moved, other than, as said, I guess these German ones, though, honestly, I don't know what good it does them to have any address because they can't reach us.
Except
for that one time when they did. This was wild. I'm so glad that you were there to witness this moment with me. So one of the last days in the old apartment, you and I were sitting in the living room. I think we were watching like Traitors or something on TV. I think this is when you and I both got dengue, and I think we were just laying around sick watching TV. And I could have thought it was a fever dream. This man walks across the street, walks to our door, pulls out of his bag an envelope, and then slides it under our door. And I was just staring, like we were just like emoji faces, both of us just wide-eyed, jaws dropped.
It was wild. I didn't think I'd ever see anything like it. It was almost as though he was delivering mail.
And I mean, he wasn't in a uniform and it wasn't a mailbag. Like, it was just a guy in a clothes.
It was a random man. Yeah.
And I picked it up. It was Finanzamt Freiburg, which is the financial department of the city of Freiburg. I kid you not, like, this is a whole other story, but one of the biggest cultural moments of being back in Germany this winter was when my partner had to physically mail a form to Finanzamt Freiburg telling them, please email me because you can't send me letters because I live in a place without mail.
And they were like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Watch me.
I don't get it.
I will find a way to send you mail in Paraguay. They must have hired some service where they will have certain important letters and they just drive around and some random man will deliver it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, anyway, apparently if you are German, if you are a German institution, a government agency, and you are determined enough, you can somehow mail a letter. But let's cut ourselves off and wrap it up with a capybara joke of the day. So for anyone tuning in for the first time, Zoe and I spent hours sitting on a canoe or a kayak, I don't know what it was, in a river on a runoff of the Amazon in northern Bolivia, making puns with the word capybara. And now we're going to share them with you.
You're so lucky.
I'll kick us off because mine are always worse than yours. What is a capybara's favorite spice to cook with?
Oh, what is it?
It is capybara damon. Capybara cardamon. It worked in my head. I never said it out loud. Oh, no.
You should have said it out loud.
Oh, no. Maybe it works better in text. Man. I don't know. It sounded good.
I almost said something about how you were selling yourself short by the fact that yours are always worse than mine. Because I was like, just last week, like, it's fine. No, that was so bad. I loved it.
Capybara mom? Is that better?
That's better.
Okay. Capybara mom.
Great. Good job. Okay. Now my joke. Mm-hmm. A scientist is traveling to a newly discovered island.
Ooh.
Populated only by capybara. And he writes a scientific paper. What is the title?
Oh, I truly have no idea.
It's Flora and Capifauna. That was worse than yours. I also didn't say it out loud.
Oh, no, wait. I think it's great.
Flora and Capifauna. We're really trying to get creative with the capybara jokes and not go for the super obvious ones.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, on that truly stunning comedic note, we'll wrap it up. We'll be back in a week to talk about transit in Paraguay. We're going to talk about how people get around, how you could travel here if you want to, and all things cobblestone street problems related.
And I can't wait because there's nothing I love more than public transit.
It's true. Tune in next week and we'll talk then. Hasta luego.
See ya.